And statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
You are listening to In the Know with David O. Informative, substantive, intelligent talk radio on 860 AM WWDB. And now, your host, Philadelphia Councilman David O.
Good afternoon. This is David O. Thank you for tuning in to WWDB 860 AM on your radio for another episode of In the Know with David O. We are going to be joined by Juan Gerizzo. He is the president of Casa de Venezuela. We have a large Venezuelan community here in Philadelphia. They've been here for a while, but recently they've gotten more engaged, and we're going to find out about why and what they're doing when we talk to Juan Gerizzo. We will be speaking with Tyrone Melvin. He's involved in community outreach for sexual assault prevention at WAR, Women Organize Against Rape. But right now, we're going to be talking with Jordan Farini and Pat Edward. They're both involved with Trades for a Difference, and that's really reaching out and using the trades as a way of developing the inner person, discipline, and other things, but also addressing the problems of blight and creating economic opportunities for those who typically have not had the opportunities to be engaged in the skilled trades. Trades for a Difference. Well, let me start by thanking our show's sponsor. That's Weinerman Pain and Wellness. If you listen to the show, you know that they sponsor this show, which is wonderful because it allows me to bring the information that I think is important and informative to the listeners. Weinerman Pain and Wellness is located at the Land Title Building, 100 South Broad Street, Suite 1800. That's right across the street from City Hall, pretty much. They're open 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. And if you need their help, their assistance, they do a wonderful job of pain management and helping people to rehabilitate from physical injuries, work-related injuries, things like that. You can check them out, Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Last week, we were talking to three guests. The first was Daryl Schuler. He's been a longtime advocate for anti-violence efforts throughout the city, and he co-organized the Put It Down Citywide Forum, which was held at the Met, and he talked about stopping the violence. Then we talked to Joe Griffey's well-known veterans advocate. He has a radio show. It's called The Welcome Home Show. And he's a well-known advocate for veterans in Philadelphia, the surrounding area, and across the nation. And then finally, we spoke to Dr. Jim Smith Jr. He is an author, speaker, and trainer of doing your best, your personal best, and, well, it's all about your personal power. And I say that because you could listen to that show, other shows, and this show by going to our website at wwdbam.com. And just check out the menu In the Know with David O, and then you'll find today's show probably around 4 o'clock. Well, let me welcome to the show two gentlemen, Jordan Farini and Pat Edward. They're both involved in an organization called Trades for the Difference, and they're trying to increase opportunities and awareness among especially minorities about the opportunities that are available through the skilled trades. Jordan, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me, Councilman.
All right, and Pat, welcome as well.
Thank you. Thank you, Councilman.
So, Jordan, let me start with you because you're the founder of this program, very accomplished program, well respected. Why did you start this program?
So the reason I started this program was for multiple reasons, but the trades have ultimately provided a great opportunity for myself and my family. It's literally been able to provide, you know, a pathway for success for my family to be able to survive, and not only survive but thrive. And it's very much of who I am, and as allowed me to be able to take care of my family and ultimately then be able to have the opportunity to pour back into my community. I've been blessed and fortunate to win and have a lot of accomplishments within the trade space, with national awards and publications and all different types of huge accolades. And I've been able to travel all throughout the country and be a part of major leadership summits and big trade shows and be invited into big fancy rooms and hotel suites and cocktail dinners with everyone who's successful and thriving in the trades. And honestly, it's been something I've been very proud of to be able to make it to. But when I get to these rooms and I get to these places, I look around the room and I don't really see people who look like me.
Yeah. So, being that you have, you've got skills.
Yes, sir.
And you have the certifications, other things. So you're earning a living and more. And you found success through, I would say, the building trades. Is it more than that, or other types of trades?
So I definitely have of a lot of different skill sets within the trades. My primary skill sets and disciplines is electrical contracting. I'm a licensed master electrician. Mm-hmm. I'm also a master carpenter. I have a degree in construction management. Mm. I have a strong, extensive background in design and drafting.
Right.
I've been able to put together a mixture of the hands-on skills as well as with the intellectual side of the trades,
right,
to really be able to create a lot of success by putting those all together.
Right.
And, you know, in these successes comes a lot of responsibility in my mind. From my family, we were able to take a business that was started out of the trunk of a car,
mm-hmm,
and a bucket full of tools from the pawn shop, and
right,
eventually scale it and grow it into multiple nationally awarded firms and with accolades and TV shows and prestige following it. Mm-hmm. And within all of that success, for me, comes an accountability or something that I really felt that I needed to share in my blessings and share my successes with my community.
Right.
So that's why I started Trades for a Difference.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in the East Mount Airy section of the city.
Oh, right from here in Philadelphia.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And so you found success, and you found that with the success, you wanted to share what you had discovered, and you wanted to make a difference. How did that lead you to create Trades for a Difference?
So just in that success, you know, comes that responsibility and just wanting to share that with my community. And climbing to the top of the industry, in a sense, that most people will call it, you know, I got exposed to how high the ceiling is or how great the opportunity is within the trade space. And ultimately, we just wanted to be able to share that with others and show young people, especially young people within our community, how to do what we did. There's so much opportunity for success in the trades, and a lot of times you find within the inner city and especially in disadvantaged communities that the trades aren't necessarily correlated with a high level of prestige or, you know, intellectual capacity, in a sense. A lot of times young people are quick to correlate the trades with being dirty, dusty, covered in paint, and, you know, coming home from back-breaking work and not a whole lot to show for it. But that's not the trades that I've come to know. That's not the opportunity that I've been able to reach. So a lot of what we're doing is exposing people to the real opportunities and the broad spectrum of everything that can be accomplished within the trade space.
All right. Well, let me ask Pat, because he's a board member and currently serves as a director of public affairs and administration for Trades for a Difference. What is it that brought you to Trades for a Difference that you wanted to be a board member, volunteer, and get more engaged? What were they doing that really appealed to you?
Mm-hmm. Well, Jordan promised me a free meal, but that's not what happened. No, I'm kidding. It just made sense. My father was a mechanic for 43 years, yep, and a carpenter. So I have some understanding of the trades. Also, I feel like I'm part of the forgotten trade. We always talk about this. I taught kids when I was working with the mayor's office for 4 years how to elevate trees and environmental stewardship,
mm-hmm,
yes, and green stormwater infrastructure. So it just made sense to me. It made complete sense.
What were they doing with young people that made sense to you?
I just saw the mentorship, which is, mm-hmm, something that Jordan and I and Miguel, we all agreed upon that just makes sense. There's not enough because people, even when people get to like into the workforce, people don't quit jobs. They quit management or they quit, mm-hmm, leadership.
Right.
So if we could create something, and we're not that much older than them, so we're able to create something that's tangible, right? You got to see what you want to be. So that's what attracted me.
Well, you know, prior to the start of this interview, I was talking with Jordan. I said, like, you know, well, who are you mostly being engaged with? Are they people that have some training, they want to move forward, or are they pretty much like fresh in the sense like you got to start with like, hey, you got to show up on time, you got to stand correctly, you got to sit correctly? And you said they're pretty green. What does that mean?
They're pretty green, meaning they haven't ripened yet. They have a lot of things to learn. And we're definitely 100% up to that challenge to, you know, providing these young people with the learning processes to be able to become great tradesmen. But for us, it also starts with that character building and, you know, those different characteristics and traits that, you know, are inherent to people, are a major part of being successful. So whether or not these young people go into the trades or not, we want to build them and develop them to be able to be, you know, successful in anything that they do. And a big way that we do this is through our entrepreneurship emphasis within our program. So we teach construction and trade with an emphasis on entrepreneurial learning. And we use entrepreneurship as a means to be able to show our young people and also to model to them, to teach that, you know, characteristics and traits are ultimately something that's going to carry with you wherever you go. So we teach them to be really hardworking and ambitious and inquisitive, and ultimately to cultivate them to become leaders, because we can teach trades. Trades isn't the hard part per se, but those type of characteristics and makeup of a person is ultimately going to contribute to their level of success wherever they go.
Let me read your core values here. It says, lead with the work. Always put your best foot forward by displaying your work ethic to produce results prior to seeking external help or recognition. Be professional. Always maintain a professional demeanor on and off the job site to uphold your reputation in the professional space. Exceed expectations. Always strive to provide the most value possible within your core competencies. Accomplish with conviction. Always believe in yourself and your work ethic. And finally, fight for your goals. Always keep trying and never give up. Never quit on your goals. There's always a way to achieve what you set out to do. These core values and the character building is what you do to develop young people. Yes, there's an opportunity, but also the fact that they have the skills, they have to have these characteristics to be successful if they're going to do their own business, earn money, things like that. Are they able to make that connection early, or does it take time for you to show them how good character is good business?
It depends. I mean, we work with young people from, you know, all different areas of the city, from all different, you know, that are all in different positions, in a sense, that all have different aptitudes, that all have, you know, different learning curves. And some young people take to it really, really quickly, where others, we have to be more patient and just continue to just, you know, just through regimen and just keep reinstilling these things into them. Eventually, they always have that aha or light bulb going off moment. But it just varies from young person to young person.
How do people get involved? For people listening right now, they're saying, hey, I got a young man or woman. That sounds like a great program. This will not only help develop their character, but it'll be something that'll be pretty useful as well.
Absolutely. So if they're interested in signing up or volunteering or even supporting what we're doing, those links can all be found on our website, which is www.tradesforadifference.org. We have a volunteer link for people that are interested in volunteering. We have a become a student link with a quick questionnaire that gets them into the interview queue and gets them set up for on the phone interviews to get enrolled within the program. There's other also links and resources for various other different reasons for people who want to connect with us.
And how do you make your selection? What's the criteria?
I mean, for us, ultimately, it's just young people that are looking to take to a new opportunity, that are open-minded and willing to just be accepting of new ideas and new opportunities. I mean, there's a whole lot of opportunity for young people within the construction industry right now. So over 298,000 unfilled positions within the skilled trade today throughout the U.S. and the baby boomers who have, you know, contributed to the trades for years and years are now pushing on the verge of retirement. And there's a huge scarcity of young people who are stepping into these positions that are very, very lucrative positions. I mean, we're talking about trade positions ranging from $30 to $60 an hour that can literally change a young person's life. And ultimately, we're just trying to connect young people who are willing to take to that, are looking to take to that opportunity and just interested in being a part of a change. We teach construction and trade, but in the way that we do it, and our model allows us to use construction and trade to create and make broad impact across various different issues throughout the city of Philadelphia. We teach our young people in the classroom where they learn the theory base and all the hands-on skills, but then we also take it a step further with their newfound skills and take them into the community to provide projects of significance that we call projects with purpose. Mm-hmm. We're throughout the city, we've been able to take abandoned buildings and turn them into community learning centers, abandoned drug houses and turn them into homes for families. Right now, we're in the process of building a housing facility for housing aged out foster care kids. And we're building two affordable housing builds in the North Philadelphia section of the city, in an area where community members are being heavily displaced. This thing that we're doing with the trades is ultimately creating a vehicle to create change across the entire spectrum. And young people who are interested in that type of opportunity, we're here for them, and we're right. ultimately looking to help them change their trajectory.
Yeah, tell me, what are some of the typical type of education or training young people can expect by enrolling in this program? And is there a cost involved in this?
So we offer this program 100% for free to the participant.
Oh, let me stop you right there. 100% free. That's always like a good thing to repeat. Okay, so now it's free. It's great training. What kind of training do they expect? How many hours or weeks is this program? What do they get to do?
That's a great question. So the way the program is set up, it's set up in two different parts. So we have the construction leadership development portion of the program, which is 4 weeks. It's getting ready to expand with 6 to 6 weeks with these new rounds of funding that we're bringing in. During that 6 weeks, the young people are exposed to all different various skill sets throughout the trades. We not only expose the young people to the hands-on skills, electrical, plumbing, carpentry, HVAC, but we also expose them to the intellectual pathways as well. Because a lot of times, in a lot of instances, the trades are always just considered to be hands-on, and often we overlook those intellectual sides: construction management, estimating, sales, design, architecture, engineering. Young people get exposed to those disciplines as well. So within the construction leadership development, they're given the opportunity to experience various different skill sets, various different disciplines within the trades, all while being able to then contribute and give back to the community with some sort of project of significance with their newfound skills. So we train them up with hands-on skills. We teach them various different things in the intellectual side: reading blueprints, drafting 101, AutoCAD 101. But after we load them up with these new skill sets, we then take them into the community and provide some sort of service of significance. It can range from a repair for a low-income senior in the neighborhood, all the way to some sort of project build where we're building housing for homeless single fathers, or an affordable housing build. During that construction leadership development, they're exposed to a lot. And we, at the end of it all, we ultimately want a light bulb to go off in their head, and they say, hey, I'm interested in becoming an electrician. I'm interested in becoming a construction manager. And upon the completion of the construction leadership development program, they definitely 100% receive job placement. They'll have an OSHA 30 certification. We have a scaffolding certification that they receive. They're now receiving a cloud-based computer software that certifies them to teach. To provide estimating and scheduling. But most importantly, at the end of the program, they get that completion, and we put together a roadmap to success when these young people then have a tangible goal plan to transition them to that discipline or that area that they're interested to make it to within the construction industry. And that's when all, like, the real magic begins, and they transfer into the alumni track, which is 6 to 12 months, and we help them to get them to where they're trying to go.
All right. Well, I'm going to stop you right there because we have to take a commercial break, but we'll be right back to finish our conversation. I'm sure there's a lot of interested folks saying, hey, that sounds pretty good, because I know someone who should be involved in that program. So I'll ask everyone to stay tuned. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
You are listening to In the Know with David O. Informative, substantive, intelligent talk radio on 860 AM WWDB.
If you've suffered an injury from a motor vehicle crash, trip and fall, construction, or work-related accident, contact the Padova firm to speak with John Padova himself. You've heard the name. That's because for over 25 years, John has been winning for his clients. John is dedicated to ensuring his clients are fully compensated. Call 215-893-0700. That's 215-893-0700. Don't suffer more than you have to. Call John Padova today. Help is on the way.
My friends, this is Joe Krause. You've heard me on Philadelphia Radio now for over 20 years, and you know I don't often endorse products or people unless they are real game changers. I want to tell you about Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located in Center City, Philadelphia. And at the end of this short personal endorsement, I want you to consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. If you are recovering from an injury, if you or a family member has been diagnosed with a disorder that has stopped you in your tracks, or if you're like me, determined to learn about wellness while getting yourself prepared to stay healthy so you can enjoy the blessings of your family. Remember the name of this warm and caring location, Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be.
Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 100 South Broad Street, just south of City Hall. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today.
Gracie Jiu-Jitsu begins with one basic premise. Technique trumps all. Proven techniques allow the weak to overcome the strong. Learn self-defense that works, all while improving your physical condition, mental outlook, and healthy lifestyle. Gracie Academy Philadelphia will help you reach your goals. Take two free classes and see for yourself. Gracie Academy, 1231 Bainbridge Street, Philadelphia. Call them 215-830-6501 or visit their website at phlbjj.com. Get started. Started at Gracie Academy, Philadelphia.
Every day, the men and women of the United States Marine Corps demonstrate their commitment to defend the American way of life. Since 1775, we have served our nation as a force in readiness.
Get some rear security.
From combat operations to humanitarian assistance in every corner of the world. No matter where the mission takes us today, or wherever our country needs us tomorrow, we always remember the land we call home. As Marines, we take a stand for each other, for our nation, for us all, the few, the proud, the Marines.
All right, we are back. Listen, we're talking to Jordan Farini and Pat Edward of Trades for a Difference. And listen, I've been notified that unfortunately, you know, hey, this is a live show. One of our guests is not able to make it. So we're going to run into his time a little bit before we talk to Juan Giarrizzo from Casa de Venezuela. But we were talking about Trades for a Difference, a 100% free program where young people can sign up and basically get mentoring from the very start of how to show up on time, how to conduct yourself, how to develop your character, to getting skills that are very useful, and then doing community projects. And now we're going to talk about, you know, the alumni, those who have graduated, and what's going on with them. So, Pat, you were talking about the fact that a lot of these graduates of this program are out there making money today. Sure. They're making so much money, they're so busy, they don't even have time to call you.
Yeah, you know. Hurts my heart a little bit, man. we were just talking about an example. I guess I can say his name. Michael Blout, who does painting.
Yes.
So he was an excellent painter during his cohort, and you know, he asked Jordan a lot of questions. He actually had one of our guys on the private side that took him under his wing. I can't remember the brother's name right now, but like literally he followed him. It was like he was like his shadow the whole time, his last 2 weeks, because our last 2 weeks of the program is on the job training. So like they literally go to the site and they learn hands on. Because you know we can tell you all day and we can keep keep you hostage in the classroom all day, but
you
until
gotta
we
go out and do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you know, and that's ultimately how you get the skills to pay the bills, right? By learning hands on.
Right.
So now he's a painter. You know, he paints people's porches, people's houses. I mean, he's really become, and he's an artist by you know. So yeah. It's kind of something that it works.
That works together well, right? Mm-hmm. And so he's in high demand.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. And he does other stuff as well, but
Michael Blount, call Pat. He misses you. But that's all good, right? That shows that there's real jobs, real money to be made,
sure.
and so that's turned his life around.
Yeah.
And then you were just saying, Jordan, that you have your own like some other companies, deconstruction companies, yeah. and things like that. That's out there, made up of just alumni of this program.
Absolutely. So what we did was we structured low barrier to entry jobs in a sense. When our young people transition out of our program, even if they're going into the union or they're starting in college to become a construction manager or they're transitioning to an open shop company, there's always that transitional period where there's like they're in layover. So to keep them active, we created some of our own social enterprises that are operated and managed by our young people. And one of them is a demolition service that also provides deconstruction services as well. So our young people are employed as the moment they leave from the program, and they're providing demolition and deconstruction services. I'm not sure if you're familiar with deconstruction.
Tell us about it.
So what deconstruction is basically it's a controlled process of demolition that's done in a way so that you can salvage the building materials and actually reuse them and keep them out of the incinerator or keep them out of the landfill. Mm. And so we take the buildings apart more methodically so that we can reuse those different materials. And we work alongside of and have collaborative partners that have reclaim stores that resell these materials to different contractors.
Right.
And there's major tax incentives surrounding it. Mm. And, you know, it's definitely very, very environmental friendly and sustainable.
Right.
So we teach our young people that specialized skills in demolition and deconstruction as a means to provide them with additional work opportunity while they're in transition to other things.
Right.
So we do that for social enterprise. And then we also have neighborhood cleanup initiatives. We've collected and cleaned up over 50 tons of trash on the lower south side of Germantown Avenue within the Germantown section of the city. We saw a major issue with trash buildup. So that was something that we wanted to be able to impact, again, all while teaching young people leadership characteristics and how to take onus over the community while simultaneously putting $13.50 per hour in their pocket. So there's a lot of valuable lessons in character building that we roll into actual revenue streams to be able to sustain the organization. And it's been working really, really well for us thus far.
Mm. Well, everything sounds great to me so far. I mean, you're hitting all the points that you need to hit plus. And the plus is that, you know, these folks are gainfully employed, looking forward to a better life, not on the streets, not getting involved in crime, doing all those good things. Mm. And so what is the future for this program? Do you plan to enhance it, expand it, and how would you do that?
So we definitely just continue to just plan on expanding and just increasing our value and just making the program better. We're always looking for ways to improve the curriculum. One big thing that we're doing now is going to be extending the construction leadership development program. We're also just looking to continue to build up that social enterprise component of what we do. Being in the nonprofit space, you know, we want to be able to be more or less self-sustaining in a sense. We don't always want to have to be very dependent upon the grant pool in order for us to be able to thrive and survive. So we want to continue to build out our services for earned revenue that are within our wheelhouse. Construction is something that's our core competency, so we want to continue this to be able to provide value to the community and monetize construction. And we're going to continue to do that through, you know, building affordable housing projects throughout the city for housing stock for our community, and continue to build housing facilities for young people that are within need throughout the community, and to provide and work in part with capital improvement projects and different city initiatives. We really, really want to be very entrepreneurial and very conscious of running our business like a business.
Right, right. Well, listen, I am sure all of this has got our listeners very eager to, once again, hear how can they get engaged? If they got someone they want to get involved with the program, what's the best way to get in touch with your organization?
They could probably send up a flyer. No, I'm kidding. TradesForADifference.org, www.tradesfordifference.org, as Jordan said earlier, or they can just email us at info@tradesforadifference, all one word, .org.
Is there any geographic restriction, like you must live in Philadelphia? Can you come from Bucks County, Chester County, Delaware County?
You can definitely come from the surrounding areas. Our focus is definitely to take care of home first. So young people that are within the city boundaries and from within targeted areas throughout the community are definitely going to receive like that
kind
that
of
top
preference.
Spot, that that preference. But you know, we're all inclusive. We just ultimately want to be able to help as many young people as possible, and to be able to ultimately change their trajectory and put them in a position of opportunity.
And an example of such is we have a cohort coming up with Councilman Curtis Jones of Wells Fargo. But priority is given to the people that live in the zip codes in his district. So that's an example of what you're asking.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, you know what? I was just at a Southwest Philly walk in the evening, walk against violence.
Yeah, how'd that go?
Hey, listen, went beautifully in one sense. You know, as far as the mission purpose was perfect.
Okay.
Unfortunately, while we were walking, there was another shooting. So that didn't go well. And but that's the reason for the walk, right?
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is because there are various groups doing that walk, and all of them focused on pretty much the solution of trying to reach young people and providing the opportunities, a part of which you are talking about right now. So, you know, taking it from like one district here in Philadelphia into another and across the city is a wonderful thing. And yeah, so definitely looking for solutions and answers, and this is one of them. So I certainly, you know, really appreciate what you're doing. Wonderful to hear, and I certainly want people to support as much as possible your work.
Yeah, I think it's important, even with that, with those type of walks, we need to actually speak to the young people. So, you know, I worked in the Senate for a couple of years, and I did a few forums where I didn't allow adults to speak. Like, we had kids from usually 24, 25, all the way down to like 16, really tell us what they needed. And most of the time, it's either guidance or mentorship, you know, at the root, you know what I mean? And then we get older, you know, they need education and money. I mean, that's the quickest way to stop a bullet, at least in my perspective.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, thank you for joining the show.
Thank you.
We are going to our next commercial break. When we come back, we'll be talking to Juan Giarrizzo of Casa de Venezuela.
You are listening to In the Know with David O. Informative, substantive, intelligent talk radio on 860 AM WWDB.
If you've suffered an injury from a motor vehicle crash, trip and fall, construction, or work-related accident, contact the Padova firm to speak with John Padova himself. You've heard the name. That's because for over 25 years, John has been winning for his clients. John is dedicated to ensuring his clients are fully compensated. Call 215-893-0700. That's 215-893-0700. Don't suffer more than you have to. Call John Padova today. Help is on the way.
My friends, this is Joe Krause. You've heard me on Philadelphia Radio now for over 20 years, and you know I don't often endorse products or people unless they are real game changers. I want to tell you about Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located in Center City, Philadelphia. And at the end of this short personal endorsement, I want you to consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. If you are recovering from an injury, If you or a family member has been diagnosed with a disorder that has stopped you in your tracks, or if you're like me, determined to learn about wellness while getting yourself prepared to stay healthy so you can enjoy the blessings of your family. Remember the name of this warm and caring location, Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be.
Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 100 South Broad Street, just south of City Hall. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today.
Gracie Jiu-Jitsu begins with one basic premise. Technique trumps all. Proven techniques allow the weak to overcome the strong. Learn self-defense that works, all while improving your physical condition, mental outlook, and healthy lifestyle. Gracie Academy Philadelphia will help you reach your goals. Take two free classes and see for yourself. Gracie Academy, 1231 Bainbridge Street, Philadelphia. Call them 215-830-6501 or visit their website at phlbjj.com. Get started. Started at Gracie Academy, Philadelphia.
At any given moment, somewhere in America, a baby is taking a first step, a developmental milestone. But for too many parents, a baby's first steps aren't just a milestone. They're a miracle. These are the parents of babies who were born prematurely or with birth defects. It's a crisis affecting more than 500,000 babies in the United States each year. You can help them by joining volunteers like you who walk in March for Babies. The money you raise funds research and local programs that help babies overcome the challenges of premature birth and birth defects. Together, our steps make stronger, healthier babies a reality for thousands of families. Sign up today at marchforbabies.org to take the steps that help make milestones and even miracles possible. Who will you march for?
Introducing the YMCA. What, you already know the why? Or so you think. Sure, you know the why for a swim, a workout, even a game of hoops. But did you know we're more than that? We're a cause. When you take your jump shot at the Y, someone else is getting job training. Take a cardio class while kids are in an after-school enrichment program. Practice your downward-facing dog as a teen practices her leadership skills. That's the why. We work with people no matter their age, income, or background and give them the opportunity to learn, grow, and thrive, all with one simple goal in mind, to strengthen our community. And we've got so much more that does just that. So while you might think of the why as that place for lifting weights, we're also about lifting entire communities. Introducing the why. We're so much more than a place. We're a cause. Visit ymca.net/more.
All right, we are back. Listen, we were talking to Jordan Farini and Pat Edouard from Trades for a Difference, a 100% free program using the trades as a way to develop character, do public service projects to address blight and provide economic opportunity and entrepreneurial opportunity as well. Unfortunately, I learned that one of our guests, Tyrone Melvin from Women Organize Against Rape War, is not able to be with us today. And so we're going to go right to our special guest, Juan Giarrizzo of Casa de Venezuela. He's the new president. Juan, welcome to the show.
Hello, Councilman. Thank you for having me here.
Well, listen, we just had an event, and it was celebrating the Independence Day of Venezuela. And so we've had Philadelphians of Venezuelan ancestry and heritage in our city for quite some time. Could you give our listeners a little bit of a history?
Sure. So the Venezuelan community here in Philadelphia has a long story. It will be hard to track exactly where...
Kind of starts with the Revolutionary War.
Exactly. Starts with the Revolutionary War.
So that's a long time.
That's right. We have a historical link, which is Francisco de Miranda, was one of our founding fathers, fought in the Revolutionary War against the British.
Right.
And you can find a statue on Lincoln Drive.
Yes.
Of a very famous historical figure of Venezuela.
Yes, yes. And so he was serving under General Washington, right?
He actually, this is a funny thing. When he participated in the Revolutionary
yes.
War, he served under the Spanish crown.
Mm, okay, okay.
He was here in the first clashes of colonial powers to find the control of the colonies.
Mm, okay, okay. So listen, I need to brush up on my history, but I know it's a long history. So recently, what has developed? When I say recently, I don't mean just recently, but in the past few decades, what has happened with the Venezuelan community?
Well, the Venezuelan community here, I always say that we are composed of various layers of diaspora.
Mm-hmm.
So we have people that has been here for over 20 years.
Yes.
And we have people that has just arrived to the country with very specific needs, very specific concerns, and also having to understand and learn the American way, which
yeah.
is something that is always one of our first objectives as Casa de Venezuela, is try to help to integrate the newly arrived members to how to adapt to the American way.
What's different about the American way here in Philadelphia and life in Venezuela?
Well, you can find food, for example.
So talking about current events, huh?
Yes.
Yes.
You can feel safe. For example,
right, because there's big problems in Venezuela.
Absolutely,
these days, yes,
absolutely, and but also I think the biggest cultural shock is to understand and navigate all the laws and rules that you have to adopt to function in a society that is law based. Venezuela, it's a very cutting corners kind of culture.
Right, right. Okay. So, in terms of the challenges in today's world, how has that affected Philadelphia and Philadelphia's Venezuelan community?
Well, I think one of the major concerns of Venezuelans here in Philadelphia is what's happening with their families back home.
Yes.
Many of us still have family in Venezuela. Most of us spend a lot of time on several applications trying to track the status of our loved ones,
right.
How to send money back home, how to send food back home.
Right.
So that is the current events affect the community in Venezuela because we are always, I always think that we are present in a space, but mentally we are there.
Right, right.
Also,
right. Like many Americans,
of course,
you know, who have a connection around the world and
yes.
Who are of course Americans, but also connected to people in distant lands and have great concern, then we as a nation, of course, are affected by what's happening around the world, and we need to ensure that we have good trading partners and that we have other free countries to stand with us. In strength for democratic principles.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So tell me about yourself. I mean, you have a PhD in cellular biology.
Yes.
How did you make your way to Philadelphia?
Well, how much time do you have?
Oh, we got time.
Okay. So, I graduated with a PhD in cellular biology back in the day in Venezuela, and then I moved through several postdoctoral appointments here in the United States.
Yes.
I made it to Philadelphia because my wife's family is from the area.
Mm.
And when I visited the city, I fell in love with it.
Okay. What was great about it? Did you hear about Councilman David O? Was that it?
I sure did. But also heard, I think Philadelphia is one of those cities that it's really proud and supportive of its diversity.
Yes, yes.
And you can feel it on the streets. Mm. It's a city that is made of a very diverse fabric. And it's proud of it.
Yes.
So I immediately felt welcome. I think in a matter of hours, I could feel this is my home, and it has been since I moved here.
Right, right. Well, How did you get involved with Casa de Venezuela?
I got involved with Casa de Venezuela through its former president, Fernando Torres, who is right now in the House following the events of the TPS, the Temporary Protected Status Bill. Yes. Approval or not, we'll see.
Right.
So we started talking about what was going on with Casa de Venezuela, how I could help. And at some point, the opportunity to become the president arose, and I took it.
Yes. So what do you hope to, what has Casa de Venezuela done that you are proud of, that got you involved, and then what do you want to do with it to take it to the next level?
Well, I think, first of all, Casa Venezuela was founded in 2004. Initially, it was meant to be a cultural and educational organization.
Right.
But with the events in Venezuela, I think the founders and the members of the board felt that they had the moral obligation to change its mission, to aim it more towards the protection of human rights of Venezuelans that are being violated by the Maduro regime. So what it has done is has left a beautiful organization that has a really amazing relationship with the city of Philadelphia and many other political figures.
Yes.
and public figures. You, for example, you have been very supportive to us and have been in several of our events.
Yes.
And which I thank you for
very
much.
Thank you for the invitation.
And that's what has been built. And what I think now I would like to build with the current board of directors. We want to build a connection or reestablish that connection with our community that I think somehow it's weakened by the events and by the fact that most of the Venezuelans are very concerned surviving and taking care of their own people back home. But I think what we want to build mainly is a real connection with all, almost 10,000 Venezuelans that are in the area. And that if we can make that happen at the end of these 3 years, that will be one of our major strategic objectives accomplished.
How are you planning to go about creating those connections?
Well, the first thing is we are starting a series of conversations in Spanish. They're called tertulias. A tertulia is basically a very informal conversation over a coffee that happens usually at the late morning or at the late afternoon, where you sit down and exchange ideas in a non-formal framework.
Yes.
The idea being is that we as Casa Venezuela, we're very interested in hearing the needs of the community, but also identify leaders in the community that can help us take over initiatives. I mean, we are very much in need of new leaders that will join the organization and bring up that new wave of projects and initiatives that we might be missing because we are not having these conversations.
Now, I think I was at one of your tutorials.
Tertulias,
yes,
you
right?
were.
Yes. You and quite a high level. You had a Congressman Brendan Boyle, and you had the ambassador of Colombia.
Yes,
right?
Yes, that's correct.
And so you're really bringing in the kind of high level global perspectives, which are always interesting to me, and in part because you know I served in the military, so I do understand that. You know, America, you know, it really stands for democracy, and that democracy was gained through military conflict. And to maintain the democracy, we need to have a strong place in the world with allies that support our freedoms and we support their freedoms. And beyond that, we want to ensure that all of our democratic partners are doing well financially, economically, to stabilize those freedoms and to trade with us and to engage us with culturally and otherwise. And so that was a pretty high level. And what other types of programs are you planning?
So the first round of – so that was a very high-level tertulia. And now the first round of tertulias is going to be a little less – formal and political, and it's going to be a series of conversations with our community, starting with different local restaurants that we are establishing. We are making the events right now. And then we're going to follow up with some workshops about immigration, about adapting to the American way. And I hope that those conversations would lead to us identify newer initiatives beyond the events that we already have in our portfolio, which are cultural events mainly.
Okay. So for folks that want to get involved with what you're doing, what's the best way to learn about Casa Venezuela and the work that you're doing?
We have a website called casavenezuela.org, and there's a contact us form there that goes directly to our email.
Yes.
And we will reply shortly after receiving your message.
Okay. Well, can you go a little bit into some of the cultural things? Because, you know, certainly enjoying the Venezuelan culture has always been a great benefit here in Philadelphia. What is unique about the Venezuelan culture in your mind?
In my mind?
Yes.
That's a very interesting question, Councilman.
Yes.
The Venezuelan culture, I think the what makes the Venezuelan culture unique, it's its people. The Venezuelan people, it's very warm and optimistic. I think the fact that they're surviving where they're surviving right now, and you can still find somebody on the street willing to share a smile with you, it's what makes our culture unique and amazing. And additional to that, the Venezuelan culture, it's made with the contribution of so many other cultures. We have a great African influence. We have our native Indians that influence, and of course the Spaniard influence during the colony era that was almost present. So we have a very interesting melting pot, if you want to call it that way, which produced such a unique product that has a combination of flavors, spices, and rhythms that makes it very, very attractive and very, very beautiful.
Okay. Well, you know, in terms of the engagement of the Venezuelan community, kind of during this time in our history, what does that look like? What can we expect?
We can expect a lot of internal conflict. And the reason being is that the situation in Venezuela, I always say you have to blink on your own risk.
Right. Changing so rapidly.
It changes very rapidly. You have leaders that emerge and all of a sudden get questioned by their supporters and so forth. So I think the Venezuelan support will look like evolving into more maturity, understanding the political game.
Yes.
And also will look like us being more involved to becoming the voice of those that don't have a voice in the world, trying to produce a very clear message of what the situation in Venezuela is like, and try to avoid falling into those pits of polarization, because that happens a lot. It happens here in the United States, where the message gets confused with very radical polarization, what translates into losing the value of the situation. So that's where we're trying to drive, not only personally, but also as an organization.
Okay, well, that's you know, that's going to certainly be, you know, challenging, and it seems like a very challenging world we live in as it is. What do you think in terms of the benefits to the community being in the Delaware Valley, being in this part of America?
Well, I think they get so. First of all, the first benefit is a culture of accepting diversity. You have the fact that Philadelphia is a sanctuary city. You have so many programs that will support immigrants coming to the city. And they also have organizations such as Casa de Venezuela and others that have been doing this for a long period of time that are willing to lend a hand and help them navigate their adoption into this country if they decide to do that.
And what, if anything, do you see Casa Venezuela doing to get engaged more formally with the government?
Well, I think the first thing that we're doing right now is to start trying to push our temporary protected status bill through the floor.
Right.
As Casa de Venezuela being a nonprofit organization, we cannot become too politically involved with certain things, but we certainly can help to build the case of the importance of initiatives such as the TPS bill for the Venezuelans. So I think in that process, we're certainly going to meet several representatives and officers that will help us understand better to how to make a political a political change or a political drive towards bills and laws and benefits that will benefit, that will affect our community.
Okay. Well, listen, I appreciate your coming in. Could you just one more time let people know how to get involved? Maybe they want to join or participate, be engaged with some of the cultural activities or other things. How to get involved with Casa Venezuela?
Absolutely. So our website is casavenezuela.org, and you can also find us on Twitter or Instagram.
All right, perfect. Well, Juan, thank you very much for joining us today. And let me just remind our guests that we have been talking to Juan Giarrizzo, Casa de Venezuela. He is the president of this nonprofit organization. We also spoke with Jordan Farini and Pat Edward of Trades for a Difference, all of a 100% free program that provides training and opportunities for young people to get involved in the trades and to learn about entrepreneurism as well. Unfortunately, we were not joined by Tyrone Melvin of WAR, Women Organize Against Rape, but we hope to have him on in the future. For any of these shows, you can check them out on the website at www.dbam.com. www.dbam.com. That's it for today. Thank you for joining us, and tune in next week for In the Know with David O.
You've been listening to In the Know with David O on 860 AM WWDB. Tune in again next Tuesday at 2 p.m. for more informative, substantive, intelligent talk radio with Philadelphia Councilman David O.